the situation perplexes me as well, because I was there, like, why isn't this, you know, working for me?
Right,
and
right.
I'm not sure if it was just, like, the lack of motivation at some points or whatever it was, or just being too scared to try and really succeed, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, welcome to the podcast. This is Dr. John Duffy, and as always, I appreciate you protecting some time to spend with me and my guests here in this space. Today, I have the luxury of sitting across from a very interesting young guy named Peter. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, thank you.
And Peter's going to tell us a story. A lot of the stories I noticed we've been telling on this podcast to date have been about people who've taken kind of the road less traveled, a different path for whatever reason. And unlike some of the other people I've been talking to, Peter chose an even more different path that I think a lot of people are considering but anxious about. So we're going to start from the top, and I'm just going to ask you to tell us a little bit about your story, maybe going back to high school or even before then, how things were going for you academically and otherwise.
Sure. So when I was a young kid, I didn't really do well at school. Like middle school, never really. I was never excelling in academics. Always from like fourth grade all the way through the end of high school, always having problems, and I didn't know what it was, because I would go to class and I would pay attention, or I'd try to for the most part, but my grades were always up and down, A's to F's, and so I never really figured out what was the problem. I mean, I didn't really study at all, but I never learned how to study either, so that might have been part of it, but I also sometimes didn't even need to. Like, I would get good grades without studying, and I'd also get bad grades by also not studying.
Right, right.
So it was a mystery to my parents, and it was a mystery to me, because I wanted to do well. I wanted to not stress about it, but it was always a stressful situation.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, it's interesting that you say you wanted to do well. Like, I work with a lot of kids and frustrated parents who aren't sure of that, like aren't sure their kid cares. You know what I mean? Because, oh, my fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grader is doing really poorly, and they're shrugging it off and they're going to watch Netflix and they don't seem to care at all. Do you think most kids care? And if they're doing poorly, they just kind of check out?
I think most kids, I would say they do care, because at least for me, I don't think anyone wants to have that stress of not doing well in school, especially today where there's so much pressure on being successful, and you see all this stuff on social media, especially the young kids, on, you know, it's important to be successful and it's important to have all these material goods and stuff. So I would say that's like a direct route to it is academic success.
And you were thinking about that stuff when you were younger, middle school, high school. You were thinking like, I'm not really on the path where I'm going to do as well as my parents did or something like that.
Right,
huh?
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that stress always apparent? Like, if I had your mom and dad flanking you right now and I asked them, you know, like, did you know that Peter was stressed out that whole time? Would they know that, or would they say, we had no idea? We thought he was, you know, kind of just this teenager who was just phoning it in.
I think they knew I was stressed at some point. I'm not sure how well their memory is going to serve them, but I hope they remember it, that I was stressed out.
Yeah. Why do you think you ran the gamut? In other words, like, not every kid runs the board grade-wise. You know, like, I'm always blown away by a report card that goes from A to F. And I believe yours did for years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What do you make of that? Like, some kids would say, oh, it's because I was interested in this class and I didn't care about this one, or I liked this teacher, but I didn't like that one. What was it for you?
I think I would go through periods of motivation. So I, like, one semester, you know, my parents would be like really on me to do better, or like, like for example, the second semester junior year, which is an important semester for getting into college, I actually did well. I think that's because my parents were on me to get it together, and then I'd kind of ride that high of doing well, and then I'd slack off the next semester, and then it would kind of flip flop like that.
How would the tenacity disappear? Like, that's another thing I think people wonder is, like, okay, so I have this kid, he's doing really well right now, and then a semester later it's like, we're back in the C range as opposed to that A, B range. What do you think happens?
I think that once you kind of get to that, you do well, you kind of rest on your laurels a little bit, and then you're like, okay, I'm good, I know I can do well, and then you just don't really put forth the effort anymore.
Right.
That's at least what I think I experienced.
A few minutes ago you said, I didn't really study, I didn't know how to study. I was never taught how to study. I've heard that from a lot of kids. What do you think the deal is with that? Like, you know, do you think that's pervasive? Do you think we don't teach kids how to study? Do you think your younger brothers never learned that? Do you think your sister never learned that, and your friends?
I don't know. I can't speak for them, but I remember they would give us some study tactics. They would say, like, oh, like, make flashcards, or, you know, look at your notes and stuff like that. But I never really wanted to do that. I didn't want to go and look at my notes. I had horrible handwriting. I couldn't even, you know, read my own notes if I wanted to. And it just seemed like extra work, I guess. So yeah, it didn't really click with me.
So did you kind of feel like, well, I've already put in 7 hours today at that place, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, why am I going to put in two more for a test tomorrow just to see if I remember today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think a lot of kids feel that way. And I do think we have a problem with not teaching kids how to study and teach them how to study kind of efficiently, because I don't know many kids who do. The kids I know who do really well, either they're kind of like academically gifted, or they're willing to put in 7 hours a night of homework.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know many kids who are willing, you know, who fit in either of those categories.
Yeah.
I think it's rare. I always wonder whether we have kind of a pervasive problem when we have to go back to the drawing board. I was watching a movie the other night that suggested that homework is, by and large, unnecessary. We shouldn't have it. Maybe 5-10 minutes of review a night per class. Would that kind of a model have worked better for you?
It could have. Homework's daunting, and it, the whole culture, you know, behind homework is that everyone has a negative view of it. You know, when you watch TV or movies as a kid, you're like, oh, homework sucks and all this other stuff. And I think that maybe if we called it something different, or if we, if we made it like a quick, easy, painless thing, it probably would get better results.
That's an interesting thought, if we called it something different.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a term that draws one in. Nobody wants to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. I mean, it might just have the wrong name, and it might be laid out wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever have the reputation of a slacker? I mean, did anyone ever think like, oh, Peter just doesn't care, he's not invested? Did anyone think that of you?
Definitely. Yeah.
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 So what happens from there? So you're telling me from fourth grade, which, you know, that goes back a few years. How old are you now?
20. I'm about to turn 21.
Okay. So going all the way back to fourth grade, which I'm going to put you at 11 or 12 then, right? Almost a decade. Your grades were touch and go. And this continued all the way through high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're telling me, yeah, this was kind of stressful. What stopped you at some point, let's say sophomore, junior year, from just plugging in hardcore, just to alleviate the stress for yourself?
So the first semester, junior year, it didn't go that well. But then I was like, all right, time to step it up, because everyone's, you know, talking about what colleges they want to go to and all this. So I went, I went pretty hard second semester junior year, and I did well, and then first semester senior year was a horrible semester. I think I got like 3 D's that first semester, and so I was like, all right, well, that was like the last, that like worst semester, because I couldn't really, you know, there wasn't enough time for me to do much worse than that. So I then, you know, went a little bit harder, and then I, you know, got the grades up for the last semester of high school. But I'm not sure what it was. I guess I was just tired of, you know, of going through the process again of all right, let's see how bad this is gonna suck this semester, and how much am I gonna get yelled at by my parents and my teachers giving me dirty looks and stuff like that.
Was it ominous? Was school kind of an ominous thing for you? I mean, was summer so much better than either semester?
I mean, it's not that summer was so much better, but it's because, you know, the summer is determined by how well you do that semester before. But I think that I'm sorry, what was the...
Oh, whether it felt ominous, whether it felt like, you know, I'm really not looking forward to going back either after, you know, in August or in January.
Yeah. So going back, I would have like I'd feel pretty motivated at the beginning of the semester. So I'd be like, all right, you know, let's get into it. But then it would be a downward slope throughout the semester. And yeah, it was pretty ominous. I really was like, I don't know how the classes are going to be hard or you know, what the teacher's going to be like or anything. So, yeah.
Were you anxious about it going in?
Maybe. I've never really been too much of an anxious kid, so I don't think so. But I was always, like, worried about college and stuff. Like, if my parents, because my parents always told me, like, oh, with these grades, you're never going to go to college, or we're never going to send you to college with these grades. So I was like, for a while, I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to go to college.
Really?
Yeah.
And were those kind of threats? Did they feel like threats when your parents would say that, or did it feel like reality?
It felt like reality.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that reality motivating or demotivating for you, or neutral?
I think it was a little bit neutral, because I felt helpless in my situation. I felt like I'd been with all these tutors, and I had, you know, had all these horrible grades and good grades. So I really was like, this is my situation, and I'm gonna take what I can get with my parents.
Yeah. I find your story, if I'm being completely honest, Peter, I find your story to be particularly frustrating, because I know you to be a really intelligent, thoughtful, interesting, dynamic guy. And when I think about and you went to a very normal school, right? Normal middle school, normal high school. And yet there's, in the back of my mind, I have this nagging feeling, like, I feel like all the adults, these administrators and deans and psychologists and therapists and parents, somehow we failed you in some fundamental way, because it's not like, oh, we're not dealing with a bright kid here.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I feel like nobody ever kind of touched on, how does this guy learn best? How do we teach to him best? And how do we bring out the best in him?
Right.
And so I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel like there's some kind of issue we have kind of on a grand scale there, and you manifested it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing it?
I think there's some truth to what you're saying. I think definitely with teaching to the learning styles, or maybe just how the, you know, this system is kind of set up, with, you know, 8-hour day, you go to every class every day. Maybe that's not necessary, and it could be rearranged better. But yeah, I mean, the situation perplexes me as well, because I was there, like, why isn't this, you know, working for me?
Right,
and
right.
I'm not sure if it was just, like, the lack of motivation at some points, or whatever it was, or just being being too scared to try and really succeed, I guess.
Yeah. So it strikes me that coming out of high school with all this said and done, you had a couple of choices. There were, I would assume, some schools you could have gotten into.
Right.
And you certainly could have done that. You could have gone and gotten a job for a while or something like that. You chose something different. What did you decide to do?
I chose to take the year off, and I traveled through Central America with a gap year program.
Tell me about that. First of all, how did you decide to do it?
I had just gotten, I think it was the winter break after I had come out of the horrible first semester senior year. And
the dark zone. Yeah.
And so, you know, I had gotten some college acceptances and stuff. But I wasn't super interested in any of the schools.
Right.
So my mom suggested that we, you know, check out this gap year fair, and a gap year could be an option. And that had never, you know, been something I had really thought I would do.
Right.
Take like a year off, because it felt like it was slowing down the process. And
I'm going
like,
to be behind, right?
Yeah.
All my friends are going to graduate
right,
before
right.
me. Right. I hear this a lot. Okay.
Yeah. So while I was there at the gap year fair, they outlined the positive benefits of gap year fairs, and they talked about, you know, what the typical student looks like that would benefit from a gap year, and I seem to be that student. They seem to just be talking about me up there. So I was like, you know what, maybe this is the thing. So there are a whole bunch of booths set up after their little presentation. So I found one that I liked, and I was like, all right, this is the one. My mom wanted to keep looking at all this. I'm like, oh, this is the one I want to do. This is the thing. So I went home, applied. I got, you do like a little 45 minute interview to make sure like you're not like a psychopath, or that if or that you're that it's you that wants to do it, not your parents that are, you know, trying to get
press you into doing it.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. So there's actually a test that you took,
right,
that kind
right.
of determined that, and that
yeah.
you're clearly not a psychopath.
Right.
Not. so you say like at some point during the gap year fair, they talked about. And I'm going to tap your memory here a little bit. They talked about like who's the ideal gap year candidate kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. And you said, I think they're talking about me.
Yeah.
Do you remember what those qualities were?
They just that, you know, decreased motivation or maybe need some time to mature a little bit. And I was like, yeah, maybe that's me. I don't remember any of the other specific, you know, traits that they said, but just kids who need a little bit more time to adjust and get their priorities straight.
I think what some people worry about when they think about gap year, some parents, is if we go that route, like you said, we're going to be behind.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to wonder, well, is this weird or something, or is this some kind of failure on our part or on our child's part? Did you ever have any of those kind of anxieties? Did your parents?
I think my dad did. I think my mom knew from the start that it would be good for me, but I felt like it was a little weird. But once I committed to it, I didn't feel weird about it. I was like, all right, I'm actually glad I'm doing this. I feel like, you know, I can't even imagine going to college right now after you've committed to taking this time off. So it was a weight off my shoulders.
And was it ever, the other thing I think people worry about is, oh, we're just putting off reality here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my child wants to do a gap year only because he or she doesn't want to go to college or get a job or something like that.
Right.
Did you ever feel that way, or do you, the people you were surrounded by, do you feel like any of them felt that way?
I don't think that I wanted to put off reality. I think, well, I guess by definition you are putting it off a little bit, but I think most kids just need the time, and they need to, you know, do something productive
Yeah.
But yeah, some kids actually don't end up going to college afterwards. But those kids, I think, you know, we're just never going to go to college.
Right.
Anyway.
So it's still the right thing for them.
Yeah.
I read a piece not long ago. First of all, I loved your piece about the fact it was what you and Malia Obama had in common, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was mostly the gap year idea, right?
Yep.
I love that. I read a piece recently also that suggested, in the wake of your piece, I'm sure, and this idea about Malia, that maybe every kid who's 17 or 18 years old coming out of high school ought to take a gap year. That this shouldn't be some fringe idea. That this should be the norm. What do you think of that?
I think it's a good idea. It's actually pretty commonplace in European countries for kids to take a year off, and I think it could definitely help here, because you're so young going into college. You know, you don't really know that much about yourself, and this is where you're going to make, you know, the big decision of where your career is gonna go. It's really the first step. So I think if you take time to really, you know, enjoy the last years of being like a teenager, I think it helps you mature and
enrich your life, right? And kind of get you thinking about like maybe, okay, what direction do I want to go, instead of like what direction is everyone else going, or you know, I want to be a business or finance major or whatever. I mean, right? It gives you some clarity, I assume.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to stick around and record another podcast with
me. Sure, yeah.
All right, cool. So stick around and come back in a day or two for more with Peter. In the meantime, and I appreciate you being here, man. In the meantime, you can find this podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, on WGN Plus. If you have any thoughts, comments, questions, or ideas for this podcast, follow me on Facebook, Dr. John Duffy. There is a free parenting program on my website, drjohnduffy.com. I encourage you to check it out. All you have to do is watch videos, no big deal. And once again, I so appreciate your time here. We will be back next time with more with Peter. We're going to find out how that gap year went. Thanks so much.